the rest of the story. Winston Churchill called him one of the greatest captains known in the annals of war, and he was referring to an American. He was describing our General Robert E. Lee. History almost always abandons General Lee at the conclusion of the uncivil war, and yet thereafter, one remarkable battle lay yet before him. This is the rest of the story. It's perhaps because Abraham Lincoln spoke so reverently, so passionately of the Union, that many imagine the wayward South was welcomed home with open arms. Well, that was not so. A multitude of Northerners, many of the highest places, sought all manner of retribution against the former Confederacy. And so, despite the ostensible general amnesty declared by Lincoln in December of 1863, countless Southerners were persecuted and prosecuted as traitors to the United States. Among them was the former commander of Confederate forces, General Robert E. Lee. I mean, his property was confiscated and sold. He was denied United States citizenship. And yet, since the Confederate States were no more, the general was reduced to a man without a country. To the sympathetic British nobleman who offered him a county seat in England and a generous annuity, Lee responded, quote, "I must abide the fortunes and I must share the fate of my people," end quote. But he would also be forced to endure a hurricane of vengeance that was sweeping through the land, and he might have been destroyed by it were it not for a friend. When a federal grand jury indicted Lee for treason, it was that friend who promptly intervened, arguing that the general, as a paroled prisoner of war, was immune to such an indictment, and the case never came to trial. When a witch-hunting congressional subcommittee tried to burn Lee at the stake of interminable interrogation, that same friend stepped forward and stood by him. The subcommittee eventually, reluctantly, let him go. And when, against impossible odds, the general sought an executive pardon for his part in the rebellion, that same friend forwarded Lee's application to President Andrew Johnson and personally recommended total amnesty. And although the vindictive president refused, General Robert E. Lee possessed at least one ally in the war after the war, and that alliance was a source of considerable comfort to a man much in need of comfort. In 1970, that's 100 years after Lee's death, a researcher discovered an incredible document in the National Archives, a piece of paper misplaced among many in a plain cardboard box, and the text began, quote, "I, Robert E. Lee of Lexington, Virginia, do solemnly swear in the presence of Almighty God that I'll henceforth faithfully support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Union of the States thereunder," end quote. This was General Lee's oath of allegiance to the United States. Fully notarized, submitted to President Andrew Johnson. But the president chose to discard it. And let the record reflect that 5 years after the discovery of that document in July of 1975, only by a special resolution of the Congress of the United States was United States citizenship restored to General Robert E. Lee. And don't let it be forgot that through the dark days following the fall of the Confederacy, General Lee's best friend was the man who had been his worst enemy, his defender against charges of treason, his comforter, his intercessor with the President of the United States was General Ulysses S. Grant. Now you know the rest of the story.